But if it deviated in any manner whatsoever from the teachings of God as laid open for all men, then in some manner it was colored to suit the needs of the day. The lessons we are taught, to continue, with the approval of the First Presidency, include many teachings of Paul. Does this mean they are false prophets or just haven't been informed from God as to Paul's standing? Well, Hatton has to leave that in your hands. The lessons you are taught with the approval of the First Presidency. What does that mean? The First Presidency? I believe that is a man or men. The only one comparable to a pope who can receive revelations, which then are passed on through the ranks of the church. And does this mean they're false prophets or just haven't been informed from God as to Paul's standing? Well, let us consider one revelation. First of all, black men were not considered equal to white men. And then later, through revelation a few years ago, they were brought up and allowed to come into the church. Does that really sound like God, who created all men in his image equal? I just ask you to ponder it. God's revelations, precious ones, don't change from one eon unto the next. They are eternal. They never change. God's laws are put forth for human on a given place. The laws of creation are those laws which stand forever unchanged. They are the laws of nature. This one continues, and I want to say, precious ones, if I sound sarcastic, I am not being sarcastic. This is one of the best and most well done inquiries I have ever received, and this one has given me pages and pages of documentation. And I honor this one. In fact, I would even like to give this one credit if I would have permission, but at this point I do not, and so I will not share the name. I am not here to put down any church, except the church of Satan. And that is just so heinous that I can't even tell you to go and experience it to see how heinous. God tells you to go and look into everything. I think that any man who claims to be godly at all would be repulsed. And yet, that too, you must know that it exists, you must know how it exists, and what it is. The same with all churches. Study their doctrines. And if a committee of men write the doctrines and the rules, and to be a member of a church, to be included into all activities, you have to do physical regulations to be acceptable, then you better look again. God is totally open. All men are equal. All men are acceptable with no rules and regulations other than godly behavior within the laws. And you are accepted within the group, even if you do not follow those laws. but most ones who come within, bearing the dark element that allows you to break the laws, will not stay. It will not be that ones will drive them away. It will be that darkness will not stand in the presence of light. And if the church thrusts forth only light in the truth as given forth by God, not by man, then ones who bring these deviant behaviors as acceptable behavior into a given group, they simply will not stay. They will not feel comfortable, but they certainly will not be denied. And if they come for in seeking of truth and honorable intent, they most certainly are welcome to anywhere. Do you see? You want to know where the Church of God is? Commander Greitz asked me, is there any church? I said, one. You see, church is a body of God. Church is a body of anything. Church is only a cult. A cult meaning a group of believing in one doctrine, or one idea, one thought. So when you speak of the church of God or Christ, is there any valid one? Just one. Just one within thine heart, right in your midsection, where your soul resides, is the only true, true church of God. Do you despoil that temple? I don't think ones even argue about it. So when you think of temple of God, God has told you that you are the temple. That means, precious ones, that all other temples, I don't care who they are built in honor to, because you see, the great pyramid would be to a pharaoh. Great monuments are built to men. So what you are doing is building a temple of men for use by men, and you claim that it honors God. Who does it really honor? Because the temple of God resides within each. Now, when we talk about the Mormon Church, I once said, if I were going to have Dharma participate, very likely I would suggest the Mormon Avenue, because you see, most ones like Freemasonry or Baptist or Pentecostal only touch the very surface. They do not make the rules. They just go to worship in their own way, however that might be. The Mormon community as such is geared for survival, for tending its own, for nurturing and care of its own little community. They teach you how to, in Salt Lake at least, they teach you how to can. You go to the cannery. You have Mormon farms where ones go out and farm and volunteer and share and have community. This was as near to perfect commune living in the beginning, and communism in its truest sense of the word, of any organization you have ever had. But the elite still ran it, you see. It was birthed and presented and organized and structured according to the doctrines of those early, quote, saints. Who pronounced them saints? Who made Penitores a Swami? I thought you might see. Other men voted in. Who made St. Paul a saint? Ah, the Catholic diocese. These are men. And you are asking me to comment on men built and structured religious doctrines. And you are giving me information by which to base your proof. And we are talking peanuts and turnips. I have to tell you that everything put forth by rules of man are exactly that. Some valid, some invalid. And I can only go by the laws as given by God and creation. I have no other guidelines. I honor you whether or not I honor a church doctrine. And if it serves your purpose, you must come into balance with it yourself. And I hear you are asking for some kind of higher understanding when the total understanding is so simplistic that I take so many hours of time and so many words to try to reach through, only to realize that if minds are set, it matters not. It becomes an argument. It goes beyond debate. And I have no wish to even debate it. Let us move right along here. Quote, after reading your explanation on Jesus' betrayal, I checked to see if the Adeus Church had information on what they believed. I have enclosed a statement by a prophet of the Adeus Church. See enclosure 1. So let us turn to enclosure 1 because this is extremely well done. He has begun with the I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess, according to Luke 18:12. Now he's just quoting here. Now, you're going to have to just, if you know what these books are or what these references are, fine. He has just listed letters. AOF, chapter 10, Authority in the Ministry. Quote, in the period immediately following that of Christ's earthly mission, the ministers of the gospel were all designated and set apart by unquestionable authority. Matthias was chosen by lot, but under invocation of the Lord's direction. Who said it was the authority of the Lord? And who was the Lord? And what might we have going on here? Because it also said that he was chosen by lot, the same way they chose who got the Christos robe, by casting lot. To fill the vacancy of the body of the 12 occasioned by the death of Judas Iscariot. Well, there was a Judas Iscariot who set this whole thing up and accused Judas Iscariot. Do you see the similarities in terms and how things get mistranslated through the eons of time? The writing continues. Saul of Tarsus, after Paul the Apostle, who had been converted with marvelous signs and wondrous manifestations, had to be formally commissioned for the labor that the Lord desired him to perform. And we are told that the Holy Ghost spake to the prophets and teachers of the church at Antioch while they fasted before the Lord, saying, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Well, there was another church out of Antioch. And if Father Cleary were here from the Catholic Church, he could give us a little history on that. Because you see, even the Catholic Church, the Holy Church, is broken down. And one of the sectors of the Catholic Church is out of Antioch. Does that make the Mormon faith less valid? It would seem to me it simply creates a contradiction when it is God that man, individual, must come into balance with, and not any 12 apostles who didn't seem to understand what was being taught when they were there. The disciples didn't seem to understand what they were taught when they were there, and when they encountered this image after the sacrifice of their lamb, they all doubted. It wasn't just a Thomas that doubted. So what are we talking about? And how can you choose a disciple to lead by simply voting him in or out, or casting lots to see who would become the chosen one? That means that man is doing the choosing, not God. The writing goes on. JTC, chapter 16, the chosen 12. Discipleship is general. Any follower of a man or devotee to a principle may be called a disciple. The holy apostleship is an office and calling belonging to the higher or Melchizedek priesthood, at once exalted and specific, comprising as a distinguishing function that of personal and special witness to the divinity of Jesus Christ as the one and only Redeemer and Savior of mankind. Are you saying to me that because of the higher order of something like Melchizedek, that God is going to be limited? And that some group of men, having labeled this man Jesus and considered him Christ, now takes the authority of a God over all and says this is the only Redeemer and Savior of mankind? By calling him Jesus, you have labeled him man. Is this the only man who would represent ever an unlimited, infinite, eternal God of creation? Hundred, please. The apostleship is an individual bestowal, and as such is conferred only through ordination. Ordination by whom? Chosen by whom? That the 12 did constitute a council or quorum having authority in the church established by Jesus Christ is shown by their ministrations after the Lord's resurrection and ascension. Were you there when they crucified your Lord? Were you there at the resurrection and ascension? Does any group of men have the right, because they announce to you they are now ordained by God, to form a council or a quorum bearing authority in the church It says their first official act was that of filling the vacancy in the organization occasioned by the apostasy and death of Judas Iscariot. And in connection with this procedure, the presiding apostle, Peter, set forth the essential qualifications of the one who would be chosen and ordained, which comprise such knowledge of Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection, as would make the new apostle one with the 11 as special witnesses of the Lord's work. How is it that when these ones did not understand when the Master was present, that they suddenly understood all enough to go out and teach the word without saying, in my opinion, as I interpret it, but to announce to the world it is the opinion of God self? JTC chapter 21, the apostolic mission and events related thereto. Jesus again in Nazareth. While Peter spoke for the apostolic body as a whole, there was among them one who silently revolted, the treacherous Iscariot, who was in worse plight than an openly avowed apostate was there. The Lord knew this man's heart and said, "Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil." The historian adds, "He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Ah, so, but the son of Simon was Judas Iscariot, or Iscariot. But you have more printing by which to so-called prove your history. But you're not proving history. You are quoting an interpretation and a translation of history." So we go on speaking of Judas Iscariot, who was not. So you cannot argue with me on the basis of Judas Iscariot, who did not exist. There was no one by that name. Today we speak of a traitor as a Judas or an Iscariot. The man who made the combined name famous has been for ages a subject of discussion among theologians and philosophers, and in later times the light of psychological analysis has been turned upon him. German philosophers were among the earliest to assert that the man had been judged in unrighteousness and that his real character was of brighter tint than that in which it had been painted. Indeed, some critics hold that of all the 12, Judas was the most thoroughly convinced of our Lord's divinity in the flesh. And these apologists attempt to explain the betrayal as a deliberate and well-intended move to force Jesus into a position of difficulty from which he could escape only by the exercise of his powers of Godship, which up to that time he had never used in his own behalf. Well, that is BS. Part of that statement, you see, is true. The rest is not. Although Judas Iscariot was and remained the closest friend that the master teacher ever had. And it was not he who hanged himself. It was Judas Iscariot. Iscariot. It's pronounced either way. JTC, chapter 34, the trial and condemnation. We are not the invested judges of Judas, nor of any other, but we are competent to frame and hold opinions as to the actions of any. This is a very good statement. In the light of the revealed word, it appears that Judas Iscariot had given himself up to the cause of Satan while ostensibly serving the Christ in an exalted capacity. That would be obvious. It would become very apparent that this had happened because this one was set up by whatever name. Such a surrender to evil powers could be accomplished only through sin. The nature and extent of the man's transgressions through the years are not told us. He had received the testimony that Jesus was the Son of God, and in the full light of that conviction, he turned against his Lord and betrayed him to death. Modern revelation is no less explicit than ancient in declaring that the path of sin is that of spiritual darkness leading to certain destruction. If the man who is guilty of adultery, even in his heart only, shall, unless he repents, surely forfeit the companionship of the Spirit of God, and shall deny the faith. And so the voice of God hath affirmed. C.D. and C. 63:16. For his trained and skillful servants, Satan will provide opportunities of service commensurate with their evil ability. Whatever the opinion of modern critics as to the good character of Judas, we have the testimony of John, who for nearly 3 years had been in close companionship with him, that the man was a thief, and Jesus referred to him as a devil and as the son of perdition. Now there is good backup references here that I don't have time to put on this tape. I would share these with anyone. You see, these teachings become valid truth. It is very, very hard. And you cannot come and ask me to make judgment on the whole of anything by its parts. If I judged everything in the Mormon doctrine church by that one statement there, that sin or error or transgressions against the laws of God end you up in trouble, I concur wholeheartedly. Therefore, within self, you're going to have to come to your understanding, do you see? Not by their books, not by my books. You take both books and you balance the whole. For all you need is God. And that's what the religion will tell you, and then it will set all sorts of restrictions upon you. And tell you what you may believe and what you may not. I do not. I tell you to experience it all, read it all, study it all, and then allow truth to find its way. Let us see. To continue the letter, is the Lord choosing to keep them in the dark, or this on this, or are they false prophets, and he doesn't communicate with them? It would seem strange that he would allow them to teach false doctrine. God will allow any man to do anything in the physical. It is a free will planet. It does not rest upon God. God will make sure that before the ending of the time, the truth will be brought to you. And that's my mission. God allows. God does not force. God does not coerce. And the truth will rise up through the lie. In your journal, Matter, Antimatter, You stated if the word Satan appeared in the text, it was mistranslated, or it was inferred to be false scripture. You mentioned the Book of Mormon and Doctrine and Covenants as falling in this category. Does this mean you hold them to be false scripture and Joseph Smith to be a false prophet because some of it was direct revelation? Neither. I simply say Satan was a word that was later conjured, and it proves that it was in translation that the word itself would appear. In the same journal, another puzzling comment was made on tithing. I was given the impression that tithing was of man, not God. There are many references to tithes in the Bible. Your comment was, tithes were of the heart in service and fellowship to your fellow man. In the Bible, it talks of material goods. I've enclosed a few of the scriptures. You continue saying it is man that keeps non-tithe payers out of the secret temples, not God. See enclosure one. Well, I am speaking of doctrine, church doctrine, where I am informed very, very bluntly, and that it's backed up by the Bible, that once a temple is dedicated and one's who wish to, it isn't simply and only tithing, but to get into the temple later after what you are saying here is sacred, not necessarily secret. One of the requirements, as I have been told from ones in the hierarchy of the church, that it does require an intent, an offering of tithing. If you're going to go in and out and do your work within the temple. I can't comment further. Tithing itself in monetary value is of man. And according to the intent of that gift, is man judged? One of the things. So I cannot comment further about it. Continue with the letter, please. As temples are open to the public before they are dedicated to the work of the Lord, I would assume them to be sacred, not secret. What makes a thing sacred? And what is a secret? A secret is something that is hidden or closed. It's a special thing, with only some included. So something happens, and whether it is sacred or simply secret, part of the instructions is not to divulge that information. And you see, that is taken from Freemasonry directly. It doesn't matter what goes on in there. It can be the purest unto God ritual. But God requires no rituals which need be kept secret. God is open for all. He knows the falling of a sparrow. He hears the cry of the silent heart. There's no royalty in heaven. There is no special place for a Melchizedek. I'm sorry, those are conjured by man in his seeking of kings and royalty to assume authority over himself and to cause him to have to bear no responsibility for his own journey. This is the child seeking the parent. Tell me what to do, I will do it. And then the adult, tell me what to do, I will do it. Because I believe you, I trust you, And I know that you know better for me than I know for myself. And if you tell me not to associate with some of these other things, I won't do it. But I won't do it, not because it's not possibly right, but simply because you tell me it's wrong. When you show me a minister who has studied every book of the Phoenix Journals, studied them in prayer and meditation, and can quote to me what is in them, then I will hear him when he says they are evil. That is not what happens. You go to your minister, you go to your deacon, you go to your whatever you call it in the Mormon church, and you say, well, this church, this person, this cult, this whatever says, they are evil. Everything coming in from outer space is evil. Oh, then how in the name of God, precious ones, are you going to get a master teacher Christ returned? How is it that ones coming from out there are evil if your own master has to come from out here where I am? Now, when you can explain that one to me, and you see, it is not a matter of not studying your religions and your doctrines. I'm not interested particularly in your doctrines, but I don't have to go very far. You see, what they are judging my material by is their doctrines. I judge only on God's doctrine, which is simple Ten Commandments and one do unto others and come into truth of who you are if you expect to make this transition into the heavenly kingdom. And every one of the churches is telling you you're going to do that. Let's see. To continue, the prophet has indicated that tithing is a commandment from God so as to comply with the requirements to be worthy to enter the temples. Is the prophet incorrect in his stand on tithing contained in the Bible and doctrine of the covenants? Not as contained in the Bible and the doctrine of the covenants. I would say that he is absolutely correct according to the Bible and the doctrine of the covenants. So let us look and see which may be twisting it in the side of power. He is following exactly what he's told to do. Has the Bible been mistranslated on this subject? The Bible has been mistranslated on every subject, just as history has been misrepresented. If you can find one flaw in a book that then is set up as a doctrine in which you are required to believe and follow to the letter and according to the interpreters in the flesh of those doctrines, then which are you following? Do you really believe that man, 6.5 billion men, are not going to misunderstand something and perhaps mistranslate just a little bit? From the same journal, I read where we were transported to this earth from Mars after destroying that planet. Well, I may have fudged a little on that. Some of you, after several trips here and yon, originated from Mars or came by way of Mars. The other planets in the solar system, some of them, most of them, have been inhabited at one time or another. This is why you have riverbeds and you have signs of having a flourishing atmosphere. And one after another, you destroyed it, and it had to be reclaimed, just as you are treating Earth now. Let me continue with the letter. All record of this transfer seems to have been misplaced, and it is in direct conflict with Moses' account where man was created here from the dust of the earth. Is this mistranslation or just fiction on Moses' part? Perhaps I have to leave that to you. What is man? What is man? Who are you? What are you? You are an energy form. You are not the body. But if it deviated in any manner whatsoever from the teachings of God as laid open for all men, then in some manner it was colored to suit the needs of the day. The lessons we are taught, to continue, with the approval of the First Presidency, include many teachings of Paul. Does this mean they are false prophets or just haven't been informed from God as to Paul's standing? Well, Hatton has to leave that in your hands. The lessons you are taught with the approval of the First Presidency. What does that mean? The First Presidency? I believe that is a man or men. The only one comparable to a pope who can receive revelations, which then are passed on through the ranks of the church. And does this mean they're false prophets or just haven't been informed from God as to Paul's standing? Well, let us consider one revelation. First of all, black men were not considered equal to white men. And then later, through revelation a few years ago, they were brought up and allowed to come into the church. Does that really sound like God, who created all men in his image equal? I just ask you to ponder it. God's revelations, precious ones, don't change from one eon unto the next. They are eternal. They never change. God's laws are put forth for human on a given place. The laws of creation are those laws which stand forever unchanged. They are the laws of nature. This one continues, and I want to say, precious ones, if I sound sarcastic, I am not being sarcastic. This is one of the best and most well done inquiries I have ever received, and this one has given me pages and pages of documentation. And I honor this one. In fact, I would even like to give this one credit if I would have permission, but at this point I do not, and so I will not share the name. I am not here to put down any church except the church of Satan. And That is just so heinous that I can't even tell you to go and experience it to see how heinous. God tells you to go and look into everything. I think that any man who claims to be godly at all would be repulsed. And yet, that too, you must know that it exists, you must know how it exists and what it is. The same with all churches. Study their doctrines. And if a committee of men write the doctrines and the rules, and to be a member of a church, to be included into all activities, you have to do physical regulations to be acceptable, then you better look again. God is totally open. All men are equal. All men are acceptable with no rules and regulations other than godly behavior within the laws. And you are accepted within the group, even if you do not follow those laws. But most ones who come within, bearing the dark element that allows you to break the laws, will not stay. It will not be that ones will drive them away. It will be that darkness will not stand in the presence of light. And if the church thrusts forth only light in the truth as given forth by God, not by man, then ones who bring these deviant behaviors as acceptable behavior into a given group, they simply will not stay. They will not feel comfortable, but they certainly will not be denied. And if they come for in seeking of truth and honorable intent, they most certainly are welcome to anywhere. Do you see? You want to know where the Church of God is? Commander Greitz asked me, is there any church? I said, one. You see, church is a body of God. Church is a body of anything. Church is only a cult. A cult meaning a group of believing in one doctrine, or one idea, one thought. So when you speak of the church of God or Christ, is there any valid one? Just one. Just one within thine heart. Right in your midsection, where your soul resides, is the only true, true Church of God. Do you despoil that temple? I don't think ones even argue about it. So when you think of temple of God, God has told you that you are the temple. That means, precious ones, that all other temples, I don't care who they are built in honor to, because you see, the great pyramid would be to a pharaoh. Great monuments are built to men. So what you are doing is building a temple of men for use by men, and you claim that it honors God. Who does it really honor? Because the temple of God resides within each. Now, when we talk about the Mormon Church, I once said if I were going to have Dharma participate, very likely I would suggest the Mormon Avenue, because you see, most ones like Freemasonry or Baptist or Pentecostal only touch the very surface. They do not make the rules. They just go to worship in their own way, however that might be. The Mormon community, as such, is geared for survival, for tending its own, for nurturing and care of its own little community. They teach you how to, in Salt Lake at least, they teach you how to can. You go to the cannery. You have Mormon farms where ones go out and farm and volunteer and share and have community. This was as near to perfect commune living in the beginning and communism in its truest sense of the word of any organization you have ever had. But the elite still ran it, you see. It was birthed and presented and organized and structured according to the doctrines of those early, quote, saints. Who pronounced them saints? Who made Penny Torres a Swami? I thought you might see. Other men voted in. Who made St. Paul a saint? Ah, the Catholic diocese. These are men. And you are asking me to comment on men built and structured religious doctrines. And you are giving me information by which to base your proof and we are talking peanuts and turnips. I have to tell you that everything put forth by rules of man are exactly that. Some valid, some invalid. And I can only go by the laws as given by God and creation. I have no other guidelines. I honor you whether or not I honor a church doctrine. And if it serves your purpose, you must come into balance with it yourself. And I hear you are asking for some kind of higher understanding when the total understanding is so simplistic that I take so many hours of time and so many words to try to reach through, only to realize that if minds are set, it matters not. It becomes an argument. It goes beyond debate. And I have no wish to even debate it. Let us move right along here. Quote, after reading your explanation on Jesus' betrayal, I checked to see if the Adidas Church had information on what they believed. I have enclosed a statement by a prophet of the Adidas Church. See enclosure one. So let us turn to enclosure one because this is extremely well done. He has begun with the I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess, according to Luke 18:12. Now he's just quoting here. Now, you're going to have to just, if you know what these books are or what these references are, fine. He has just listed letters. AOF, chapter 10, authority in the ministry. Quote, in the period immediately following that of Christ's earthly mission, the ministers of the gospel were all designated and set apart by unquestionable authority. Matthias was chosen by lot, but under invocation of the Lord's direction. Who said? Who said it was the authority of the Lord. And who was the Lord? And what might we have going on here? Because it also said that he was chosen by lot, the same way they chose who got the crystal's robe, by casting lot. To fit the vacancy of the body of the 12 occasioned by the death of Judas Iscariot. Well, there was a Judas Iscariot who set this whole thing up and accused Judah Iscariot. Do you see the similarities in terms and how things get mistranslated through the eons of time? The writing continues. Saul of Tarsus, after Paul the Apostle, who had been converted with marvelous signs and wondrous manifestations, had to be formally commissioned for the labor that the Lord desired him to perform. And we are told that the Holy Ghost spake to the prophets and teachers of the church at Antioch, while they fasted before the Lord, saying, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Well, there was another church out of Antioch, and if Father Cleary were here from the Catholic Church, he could give us a little history on that. Because you see, even the Catholic Church, the Holy Church, is broken down, and one of the sectors of the Catholic Church is out of Antioch. Does that make the Mormon faith less valid? It would seem to me it simply creates a contradiction when it is God that man, individual, must come into balance with, and not any 12 apostles who didn't seem to understand what was being taught when they were there. The disciples didn't seem to understand what they were taught when they were there, and when they encountered this image after the sacrifice of their lamb, they all doubted. It wasn't just a Thomas that doubted. So what are we talking about? And how can you choose a disciple to lead by simply voting him in or out, or casting lots to see who would become the chosen one? That means that man is doing the choosing, not God. The writing goes on. JTC, chapter 16, the chosen 12. Discipleship is general. Any follower of a man or devotee to a principal may be called a disciple. The holy apostleship is an office and calling belonging to the higher or Melchizedek priesthood, at once exalted and specific, comprising as a distinguishing function that of personal and special witness to the divinity of Jesus Christ, as the one and only Redeemer and Savior of mankind. Are you saying to me that because of the higher order of something like Melchizedek, that God is going to be limited, and that some group of men, having labeled this man Jesus and considered him Christ, now takes the authority of a God over all and says this is the only Redeemer and Savior of mankind? By calling him Jesus, you have labeled him man. Is this the only man who would represent ever an unlimited, infinite, eternal God? of creation. Hundred, please. The apostleship is an individual bestowal, and as such is conferred only through ordination. Ordination by whom? Chosen by whom? That the 12 did constitute a council or quorum having authority in the church established by Jesus Christ is shown by their ministrations after the Lord's resurrection and ascension. Were you there when they crucified your Lord? Were you there at the resurrection and ascension? Does any group of men have the right, because they announce to you they are now ordained by God, to form a council or a quorum bearing authority in the church . It says their first official act was that of filling the vacancy in the organization occasioned by the apostasy and death of Judas Iscariot. And in connection with this procedure, the presiding apostle, Peter, set forth the essential qualifications of the one who would be chosen and ordained, which comprise such knowledge of Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection, as would make the new apostle one with the 11 as special witnesses of the Lord's work. How is it that when these ones did not understand when the Master was present, that they suddenly understood all enough to go out and teach the word without saying, in my opinion, as I interpret it, but to announce to the world it is the opinion of God self? JTC chapter 21, the apostolic mission and events related thereto. Jesus again in Nazareth. While Peter spoke for the apostolic body as a whole, there was among them one who silently revolted, the treacherous Iscariot, who was in worse plight than an openly avowed apostate was there. The Lord knew this man's heart and said, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" The historian adds, "He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Ah, so, but the son of Simon was Judas Iscariot. Or Iscariot. But you have more printing by which to so-called prove your history. But you're not proving history. You are quoting an interpretation and a translation of history." So we go on speaking of Judas Iscariot, who was not. So you cannot argue with me on the basis of Judas Iscariot, who did not exist. There was no one by that name. Today we speak of a traitor as a Judas or an Iscariot. The man who made the combined name famous has been for ages a subject of discussion among theologians and philosophers, and in later times the light of psychological analysis has been turned upon him. German philosophers were among the earliest to assert that the man had been judged in unrighteousness, and that his real character was a brighter tint than that in which it had been painted. Indeed, some critics hold that of all the 12, Judas was the most thoroughly convinced of our Lord's divinity in the flesh, And these apologists attempt to explain the betrayal as a deliberate and well-intended move to force Jesus into a position of difficulty from which he could escape only by the exercise of his powers of Godship, which up to that time he had never used in his own behalf. Well, that is BS. Part of that statement, you see, is true. The rest is not. Although Judah Iscariot was and remained the closest friend that the master teacher ever had. And it was not he who hanged himself. It was Judas Iscariot. Iscariot. It's pronounced either way. JTC, chapter 34, the trial and condemnation. We are not the invested judges of Judas, nor of any other, but we are competent to frame and hold opinions as to the actions of any. This is a very good statement. In the light of the revealed word, it appears that Judas Iscariot had given himself up to the cause of Satan while ostensibly serving the Christ in an exalted capacity. That would be obvious. It would become very apparent that this had happened because this one was set up by whatever name. Such a surrender to evil powers could be accomplished only through sin. The nature and extent of the man's transgressions through the years are not told us. He had received the testimony that Jesus was the Son of God, and in the full light of that conviction, he turned against his Lord and betrayed him to death. Modern revelation is no less explicit than ancient in declaring that the path of sin is that of spiritual darkness leading to certain destruction. If the man who is guilty of adultery, even in his heart only, shall, unless he repents, surely forfeit the companionship of the Spirit of God, and shall deny the faith. And so the voice of God hath affirmed. C.D. and C. 63, 16. For his trained and skillful servants, Satan will provide opportunities of service commensurate with their evil ability. Whatever the opinion of modern critics as to the good character of Judas, we have the testimony of John, who for nearly 3 years had been in close companionship with him, that the man was a thief, and Jesus referred to him as a devil and as the son of perdition. Now there is good backup references here that I don't have time to put on this tape. I would share these with anyone. You see, these teachings become valid truth. It is very, very hard. And you cannot come and ask me to make judgment on the whole of anything by its parts. If I judged everything in the Mormon doctrine church by that one statement there, that sin or error or transgressions against the laws of God end you up in trouble, I concur wholeheartedly. Therefore, within self, you're going to have to come to your understanding, do you see? Not by their books, not by my books. You take both books and you balance the whole. For all you need is God. And that's what the religion will tell you, and then it will set all sorts of restrictions upon you. and tell you what you may believe and what you may not. I do not. I tell you to experience it all, read it all, study it all, and then allow truth to find its way. Let us see. To continue the letter, is the Lord choosing to keep them in the dark, or this on this, or are they false prophets and he doesn't communicate with them? It would seem strange that he would allow them to teach false doctrine. God will allow any man to do anything in the physical. It is a free will planet. It does not rest upon God. God will make sure that before the ending of the time, the truth will be brought to you. And that's my mission. God allows. God does not force. God does not coerce. And the truth will rise up through the lie. In your journal, Matter, Antimatter, you stated, if the word Satan appeared in the text, it was mistranslated, or it was inferred to be false scripture. You mentioned the Book of Mormon and Doctrine and Covenants as falling in this category. Does this mean you hold them to be false scripture and Joseph Smith to be a false prophet because some of it was direct revelation? Neither. I simply say Satan was a word that was later conjured, and it proves that it was in translation that the word itself would appear. In the same journal, another puzzling comment was made on tithing. I was given the impression that tithing was of man, not God. There are many references to tithes in the Bible. Your comment was, tithes were of the heart in service and fellowship to your fellow man. In the Bible, it talks of material goods. I've enclosed a few of the scriptures. You continue saying it is man that keeps non-tithe payers out of the secret temples, not God. See enclosure one. Well, I am speaking of doctrine, church doctrine, where I am informed very, very bluntly, and that it's backed up by the Bible, that once a temple is dedicated and one's who wish to, it isn't simply and only tithing, but to get into the temple later after what you are saying here is sacred, not necessarily secret. One of the requirements, as I have been told from ones in the hierarchy of the church, that it does require an intent, an offering of tithing. If you're going to go in and out and do your work within the temple. I can't comment further. Tithing itself in monetary value is of man. And according to the intent of that gift, is man judged? One of the things. So I cannot comment further about it. Continue with the letter, please. As temples are open to the public before they are dedicated to the work of the Lord, I would assume them to be sacred, not secret. What makes a thing sacred? And what is a secret? A secret is something that is hidden or closed. It's a special thing, with only some included. So something happens, and whether it is sacred or simply secret, part of the instructions is not to divulge that information. And you see, That is taken from Freemasonry directly. It doesn't matter what goes on in there. It can be the purest unto God ritual. But God requires no rituals which need be kept secret. God is open for all. He knows the falling of a sparrow. He hears the cry of the silent heart. There's no royalty in heaven. There is no special place for a Melchizedek. I'm sorry, those are conjured by man in his seeking of kings and royalty to assume authority over himself and to cause him to have to bear no responsibility for his own journey. This is the child seeking the parent. Tell me what to do, I will do it. And then the adult, tell me what to do, I will do it. Because I believe you, I trust you, and I know that you know better for me than I know for myself. And if you tell me not to associate with some of these other things, I won't do it. But I won't do it, not because it's not possibly right, but simply because you tell me it's wrong. When you show me a minister who has studied every book of the Phoenix Journals, studied them in prayer and meditation, and can quote to me what is in them, then I will hear him when he says they are evil. That is not what happens. You go to your minister, you go to your deacon, you go to your whatever you call it in the Mormon church. And you say, well, this church, this person, this cult, this whatever says, ooh, don't, they are evil. Everything coming in from outer space is evil. Oh, then how in the name of God, precious ones, are you going to get a master teacher Christ returned? How is it that ones coming from out there are evil if your own master has to come from out here where I am? Now, when you can explain that one to me, and you see, it is not a matter of not studying your religions and your doctrines. I'm not interested particularly in your doctrines, but I don't have to go very far. You see, what they are judging my material by is their doctrines. I judge only on God's doctrine, which is simple 10 commandments and one do unto others. And come into truth of who you are. If you expect to make this transition into the heavenly kingdom, and every one of the churches is telling you you're going to do that. Let's see. To continue, the prophet has indicated that tithing is a commandment from God so as to comply with the requirements to be worthy to enter the temples. Is the prophet incorrect in his stand on tithing contained in the Bible and doctrine of the covenants? Not as contained in the Bible and the doctrine of the covenants. I would say that he is absolutely correct. According to the Bible and the doctrine of the covenants. So let us look and see which may be twisting it in the side of power. He is following exactly what he's told to do. Has the Bible been mistranslated on this subject? The Bible has been mistranslated on every subject, just as history has been misrepresented. If you can find one flaw in a book that then is set up as a doctrine in which you are required to believe and follow to the letter and according to the interpreters in the flesh of those doctrines, then which are you following? Do you really believe that man, 6.5 billion men, are not going to misunderstand something and perhaps mistranslate just a little bit? From the same journal, I read where we were transported to this earth from Mars after destroying that planet. Well, I may have fudged a little on that. Some of you, after several trips here and yon, originated from Mars or came by way of Mars. The other planets in the solar system, some of them, most of them, have been inhabited at one time or another. This is why you have riverbeds and you have signs of having a flourishing atmosphere. And one after another, you destroyed it, and it had to be reclaimed, just as you are treating Earth now. Let me continue with the letter. All record of this transfer seems to have been misplaced, and it is in direct conflict with Moses' account where man was created here from the dust of the earth. Is this mistranslation or just fiction on Moses' part? Perhaps I have to leave that to you. What is man? What is man? Who are you? What are you? You are an energy form. You are not the body.